Well, good evening. Glad to have you with us here tonight. You're out of the rain, out of those things for now. So hopefully all of that stays north of us. Pray for those people that are being affected by that in the north central part there here of Tennessee. I want to welcome those who are on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter. Thank you for being there. Be sure to go ahead and subscribe there. Click the notification bell. Do the follow there on Facebook. Retweet us on Twitter. That just helps to get the word out even more. So easy way that you can invite people to come and be a part of the services live tonight. Make some comments there. Let us know you're watching. If you've got any prayer requests, make those over in Facebook. That's where we'll see any requests that you may have there. And then also want to say welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming. Thank you for being there with us also and for your faithfulness each and every week to listen in on your telephone. If you need that number, let me know. We'll be glad to give that to you if you know of any others who could use that. If you do have access at home to our church website, go to HighlandBaptistChurch.com. It's under the info tab. You can download the worship bulletin for this past Sunday, the children's worship bulletins for this past Sunday also. So be sure to get those downloaded. Send the links out if you can there to individuals. And then while you're there, go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab there. It's the last tab that's on the screen there. Sometimes on a phone, it may bump it down further, but it's the last tab there. Easy platform set up there for you to do your online giving, whether that's your budget offering giving or whether that's to the North American offering for missions, for North American missions, our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. So encourage you to take the time to do that. Do you know where we are on that? Okay. All right. I knew she had balanced some things earlier today, but maybe that wasn't one. Okay. So do want to encourage you. We are still getting some of the blue cards, so be sure to get those in to us. You don't have to cut anything. It's got a perforated tear-off place there. You just fold the perforation, tear the perforation, and then the rest is yours as a bookmark to put in your Bibles to follow those scriptures through a 30-day Bible reading plan and prayer plan for the individual that's on your list. Place that part that's the blue part in the offering plate, and we'll get those and put those on the cross over here to my right. But we're also creating some white cards that have Hoosier One on the front and the name of an individual that you've listed on the back. And so I want to encourage you to pick up some of these. There are more of these down front. Keep praying for those individuals. Keep uplifting them in prayer. We do still have some of those prayer guides if you want one of the paper copies of that. Don't forget the Bible app that we have and that resource there. All you have to do is scan this QR code at home on your television screen there. If you're watching on your phone, you'd have to wait to do it later with that. But you can go and search the App Store for the Bible app. It's the YouVersion Bible app. Download the app. In that, you can tap the Discover button there. Once you've tapped Discover, you search for our church. When you search for our church will be one of the first that'll come up, especially if you're here at church, because it does it by your location. And so it'll automatically pop up. Set this as your church, and then you'll get that Bible reading plan that we're going through the book of Ephesians in 21 days. So don't forget those things. Prime Timer's coming up. We still got the sign-up sheet out here on the board. Be sure to sign up for that. That's next Tuesday. Looking forward to a wonderful meal with that. And then also we need Vacation Bible School workers, volunteers for the VBS kickoff on that Saturday, June the 1st. All kinds of ways you can help. So you can help with setup, takedown, which are more extraneous type things. You can help with security. You can help just to help us with registration and all those kinds of different things too. So there's all kinds of ways that you can help, manning one of the stations, one of the inflatables, or things like that. We are collecting some candy, no chocolate, and some small toys for Bible school for that. And so please be sure to take the time to bring some of those things. And then also don't forget the Facebook group. We have a new Facebook group that we've started. It's for church members and church attenders so that we can remind you of upcoming things. Some of these things that you're seeing on the screen, other things like if we need volunteers for things or if you volunteered for something, you'll notice that we'll have the greeters will be posted on there weekly. The Deacon of the Weeks will be posted on there weekly. Security teams will be posted on there. So all those kinds of things will be announced on there. Things that aren't necessarily for the whole wide world, but we want to make sure you get just another reminder. Some of those things are in your bulletins. Some of those things will be just on that. And then we'll announce public things, public events and things to the Facebook page for our church. But be sure to scan that and it'll send a request to us to be a part of the group. We try to check that daily. I have not checked that yet today, but I will this evening, and we'll approve those who are part of that group. So Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us in our hymn.
Take your hymnals and turn to hymn 342, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Ms. Pat?
Sing one more verse. I was watching a tornado. No, sorry. No, I came close though. Someone asked me if I was going chasing, and I said no, but I came close. I didn't get one of these. Hang on. I got it right here. I had grabbed everything but my prayer list. So hopefully you at home have gotten your prayer list downloaded and ready to take a look at, as well as here in person. And I'm also trying to get over to Facebook where I can follow along if you have any requests. So most of the storms right now that as you can see on radar are north of us. They're headed they came from Columbia way, towards Eagleville, towards Murfreesboro and beyond, and up north of that toward Nashville. We don't have anything that's remotely moving this way to Tullahoma. So we'll keep a notice of that to keep up with where things are. But I am on Facebook here. Make sure I don't have no volume up, okay? And then also looking for your comments that you might share there on Facebook for any prayer requests there especially. So if you will take a look at our prayer list, you'll notice we'll just start almost near the bottom on our family side. We went through the entire list last week. We won't go through the entire list this week unless you have an update of someone that you want to share about the prayer list. One that I will mention that is further up on the prayer list is George Duncan. Just to remind you, he'll be having a consultation with a surgeon on the 22nd, I believe it is, of this month, and then has a follow-up with a cardiologist, I believe it is, on the 31st, before they do his surgery to remove his bladder. And so we don't have a date yet. Once he meets with the surgeon, they'll determine a date, then he'll go see the cardiologist and make sure his heart can do well with the surgery. So keep him in your prayers. They're going to have to remove the whole bladder because part of the tumor was in the muscle tissue there of the bladder. So keep him in your prayers for that. And then if you bump down just a ways further here underneath Wade Hall there, you've got Jack Doubt. Has anyone heard from Jack Doubt? I have not heard anything from Jack Doubt. He had his knee replacement surgery today. So if he's at home, maybe he'll comment there in our comments online to let us know how things went there. But he had his knee replacement surgery today. Remember Jimmy Marlowe? Jerry Darden was here this past Sunday with us for worship, so that was encouraging to see him here after he had his issues with his heart. I remember Brittany Howell and her family in the passing of her father, Andrew Mixer. We still don't know anything yet on the arrangements or dates that they would be doing that. It will probably be down towards Dallas, Texas, where they lived at, either there or back in Arizona, where she's from. So just we'll let you know when we know those things. Miss Linda Jones, she has been here and doing well, but she had some issues with changing her blood pressure medications. Her blood pressure had bottomed out, almost went into a coma there. So we just praise the Lord things went okay for her. They've got it kind of regulated, and she seems to be doing okay. And then don't forget David Hess with his lung cancer that has come back. We had had some different information from parts of the family there. They are going to do, she stepped out. Let me pull it up here so I don't missay something. So they are going to begin with chemo, but the radiation is what they're not going to do right now. They don't think the radiation would work, but they have that as an option later after the chemo, or to surgically remove the nodules that the chemo doesn't dissolve. There are lots of them that are in his lungs, and so just be praying for him and his family through this whole process, because none of that sounded good at all. Any others, any updates on the Highland Baptist Church family part? Right, on the friends and family side there, just a few updates here. Want to remember Val Kohler and Robert Kohler. She has stage 4 cancer. This is Pastor Matt's aunt and uncle. They lost their daughter earlier this year to leukemia, and so be in prayer for Val with her stage 4 cancer, and Robert, his uncle. Also, Jay Barbier, keep him in your prayers as he's continuing to recover from his surgery. He has cancer. Remember Tim Forsyth. He is having a port removed this week, but he's been doing treatments also, and so he's been out of services over at Trinity Baptist in Manchester. He's a youth minister over there, so keep him in your prayers as he continues to go through his cancer issues. And then Corin, I believe Samantha's sister said that she's talking now, and so that's good. So some improvements there, but do keep her in your prayers with her brain tumor. Also remember the Ray family. This is another part of Matt's family. They have quite a few issues that are going on, and he just asked that we would put them on the prayer list to keep them in our prayers. With they have some physical issues, some of them have some drug issues, just a lot of different things that are going on in that family. So keep them in your prayers. Miss Elise Flynn, is she still doing her radiation treatments? Okay, so plans to start them in the next couple of weeks. I think it was last week she commented on Facebook to let us know that she appreciates the prayers there, so we appreciate that too. But keep her in your prayers. And then Floyd Prince, who is Myra Patton's dad, some may know him as Doc Prince. We have not gotten the word. Has anybody heard from them? I know they were making that decision, or supposed to be talking about the decision, what the next steps would be with him this past Sunday, but we have not heard anything from the family on them at all. So any others or any other updates that you know of for the friends and family side? All right, and then we have the nursing home list. We have Mary Campbell, Peggy Eggleston, Miss Bertie Davis. Just a little quick update on Miss Bertie. She did have to go to the hospital this past Saturday and was checked out there. They did a CT scan on her. Everything came back normal from that. They did give her some medications, IV stuff for a headache that she was having and such. So she was doing better. Miss Kay took her back to Brookdale, and she is back at Brookdale. But keep Miss Birdie in your prayers. Miss Janet Carter, who's at MacArthur Manor. Sue Prince, who is Floyd Prince's wife, who's at Morning Point, is at Morning Point. Beverly Daniels, who was at Morning Point. She is now at Manchester Rehab Center, so keep her in your prayers. And then Susie Barton at Morning Point also. And then Hoyt Farrell's over at Legacy over in Manchester, and Christine Cranford at NHC. So remember all those. Any updates you have on those? Any other requests that you want to add? Again, if you're at home, be sure to comment there on Facebook, any comments, any prayer requests that you may have, and we'll try to follow up with those. Even if we don't get those in right now, we'll get them in by the end of the service here. All right. I don't see any on Facebook, and I don't see any more in here, so let's go to the Lord in prayer for these that are on our prayer list. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you for just loving us and creating us. Thank you, Lord, for being the holy, righteous God that you are, but yet also, Lord, a merciful God. Lord, we praise your holy name. And we come before you, Lord, acknowledging that we are unholy. We need forgiveness of our sins. And so we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would forgive us and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. Lord, we pray that you would have your hand upon us to restore us, Lord, to a right walk with you. May you cleanse us with the precious blood of Christ and forgive us of our sins, casting them as far as the east is from the west. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would remember those sins no more. Lord, I pray that we would make sure that when we have committed any sin, or you bring to our hearts or to our minds any sin that maybe we have committed, or maybe something we didn't do that we should have done, Lord, that you would reveal those things very plainly and clearly to us, that we would have no option but to deal with those sins in our lives, to confess them and to repent of them, to turn away from them. And Father, I pray that's what we would indeed do, that as we come before you seeking forgiveness, we're not just seeking forgiveness so that we can go do it again. Father, I pray that you would help us by renewing us in our hearts and our minds, helping us to become more and more of a new person in Christ, to be in the center of your will, doing all that you would have us to do. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would lead us and guide us tonight to a closer walk with you, closer than we've ever been before. Lord, there may be those who are under conviction because they don't know Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we pray, God, that you would use the message tonight, use the Word of God, use Christians that are in their lives, bring us across their lives. Maybe we're that individual. Lord, I pray that you would bring people across our path who would share the good news of the gospel. And Lord, that we would repent of our sin and come to faith in Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that you would have your hand upon those individuals, your Spirit be working in their hearts. Lord, we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit. So do your work, Lord, and help us to be faithful in doing what we need to be doing and sharing the good news of the gospel. Lord, we come before you having repented of our sins, because we don't want anything, Lord, to hinder our prayers with you, especially as we're praying for these that are on this prayer list. Lord, you know each person and their situation and their life and the struggles they're going through. Father, I pray as many of these are physical needs, that you would be with the doctors and nurses, the caregivers who are taking care of them, to, Lord, bring the healing that they need. Lord, give them wisdom, give them understanding to know the proper care that these individuals need. We thank you for the wisdom and discernment you've given to those people in that profession. And Lord, we just pray that you would use them for the care of these individuals. But we know, God, that you are the great physician, And so we know, Lord, that you can bring that life and death is in your hands. We know that the power to heal is in your hands. And we just pray, God, that you would touch these individuals, speak the word for them to be healed, Lord. And we pray that we would testify and give the glory and the honor to you of what you're doing in these people's lives as you bring that healing to them. Lord, I pray that if there are those, Lord, who have to still continue to go through some of these struggles that they're facing, Lord, that you would be with them. May they find their strength and their peace, even in the midst of the chaos and storm they're going through, to be able to persevere one moment at a time, one day at a time, to be a witness to the people around them. And Lord, I just pray that as maybe they're questioning, why is all this happening, or what is the purpose of all this, Lord, that you would give them clarity that you have a purpose and that you have a plan, even if we don't ever understand it this side of glory. Lord, we know that you are taking all the things that happen in our lives, whether it's something good or whether it's something bad, you're taking all of those three things to bring good into our lives and to bring glory to your name. And so, Father, I pray that you would do that in these situations. Lord, wrap your loving arms around them. Let them know you're with them. Let them know that there are other individuals who are praying for them. And Father, we just ask your special blessings to be upon them in a powerful, powerful way. Lord, we want to just pray, Lord, for those who have had surgeries, Lord, that the healing process will continue. Those who have upcoming surgeries, Lord, they may have anxieties or worries about those things. So, Lord, give them a peace that passes all understanding. And those, Lord, that are walking through maybe even the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, we pray that you will walk with them and that you will give them that comfort that they need in their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we just pray for your will to be done in their hearts and in their lives. Lord, let them know too that you love them and that you're caring for them and their families. And Father, I just pray tonight that you would be with all those who are being affected by the storms today all across the southeast, even into Indiana, Illinois, all those other mid-central area states. Father, Father, I just pray that your protection would be upon people, Lord, for those who have been affected. May you use this, Lord, in some way, somehow, to bring glory to your name and to help them, Lord. Provide for the needs that they have there. Surround them with people, Lord, to meet the needs that they have, Lord. And ultimately, the greatest need, that of salvation, to send people across their path to share the good news of the gospel message with them. And so, Father, we just pray tonight that you would bless us as we study the Word of God, as we look here again at the book of Isaiah, one of the shortest chapters in all of this book. Lord, I pray that yet it would be a powerful message for us and a thing, Lord, that we're looking forward to as believers. Lord, that as we've been studying about the day of the Lord, for us as a believer, help us to realize and understand that's not a terrifying day. That is a glorious day, because that is when we will be with you forever in a place where there is no more suffering, there is no more pain, there is no more sorrow. So, Lord, use this passage to encourage us tonight. Let us see the contrast between the previous chapter and this chapter. And Father, I pray that we'll see some application that we could use for our lives even today in the midst of struggles we may be facing. So bless your word. May it be powerful and alive. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah. If you open your Bible to the middle, I've got a bookmark in mine, and it's almost the middle. Sometimes Psalms is about the middle of your Bibles, but mine happens to be pretty close to Isaiah there. So hopefully you can find Isaiah. If you find Psalms, just go over a few books to the right, and you'll find the book of Isaiah. So there's been a lot that we've looked at already in the book of Isaiah. We've seen the sin that God has addressed with the people and where they have been. He has told them, here's the judgment that is coming, and that what's going to be poured out upon them, even as God's people. You know, that's one of the things we need to always keep in our minds and in our hearts, to know this was happening or was going to be happening to God's chosen people, to the Israelites. And we would think, you know, they would be immune to those things, but they weren't because of sin. And neither are we as the New Testament church today immune. And so we saw some of the judgments that could come, and we saw some of the results of that back in chapter 3. In chapter 3, we saw in last week's message how things are going to be such a disgrace, how things are going to be in such a shame in the situation that they are. All of their men, all of their fighting men are going to be killed by the sword. They're going to die in battle. All that's going to be left are the women and the children, essentially. And the women then are going to be the ones in charge. And that was showing us in those verses how that was a reproach to the name of the Lord. I mean, if you are God's chosen people, you ought to be the mightiest nation on the face of the earth. And that's what the nations around them would look at them and say, where is your God? In fact, we see that later in some of the other prophets and the messages that they have, is that the people in these godless nations were looking at the nation of Israel, who professed to serve the one true and living God, and they were saying, where's your God? If that's the kind of God you serve that leaves you in the shambles that you're in, we don't want any kind of part of that kind of a God. And he said, that's what's going to happen here. All these are going to be destroyed. All that's going to be left are the women. He said back in chapter 3 and verse 26 that her gates will lament and mourn, empty. She shall sit on the ground. And then verse 1 of chapter 4 really finishes up the thought of chapter 3 there. And that's where I want to start with in this message that I've entitled The Branch of the Lord. And we're going to come to understand what that means, the branch of the Lord. And it can mean good and it can mean bad. And we'll talk about that it could mean good and it could mean bad with the branch of the Lord. So verse 1 says this in chapter 4. We looked at this verse last week, so we won't spend a lot of time on this particular verse. But it said, and seven women shall take hold of one man in that day. So this is how bad it's going to be. No men are going to be left. There's going to be that kind of odds, seven women for every man. And here's a seven women who take hold of one man in that day. And notice they say, we will eat our own bread and wear our own clothes. Only let us be called by your name. Take away our reproach. Their reproach was is that they didn't have a husband. Because they didn't have a husband, they didn't have a legitimate way to bring children into this world. And because of that, their lineage would end. And they knew that was a reproach to them and to the nations of the world. And so in chapter 3, in this verse, in these verses that we're going to be looking at, in chapter 3, we're talking about the terrible sins and the shame and the disgrace that have been brought upon the nation of Israel. What we're going to look at in this passage in chapter 4 is that the prophet looks beyond the day of the Lord to that time when the kingdom of the Lord is going to be established on this earth. So this text that we're looking at in chapter 4, it in essence here gives us a positive about the end times in the contrast of to the negative of the previous chapter. The previous chapter was negative. All this judgment's coming. All these terrible things are going to come upon you because you have turned your backs upon the Lord. And now we're going to see in chapter 4 that he contrasts that with a positive here. You know, so often people, when they look at the Old Testament, and they say, man, that the God of the Old Testament seems to be brutal. He seems to have people destroyed all the time. It seems like there never is a message of hope or grace. It's all judgment in the Old Testament. You don't get grace till you get to the New Testament. That's not true. Over and over and over throughout the Old Testament, you see the grace of God and the hand of God, and no less even in the midst of God's judgment in chapter 3 and here in the book of Isaiah. And so he begins these first two verses of this chapter of Isaiah using this intriguing phrase called "in that day." Seven women shall take hold of one man in that day. To speak of that time when God's control over the earth is going to finally be affirmed dramatically. There's a couple of things before we get too far into the text here that I want you to see about this period of time, this day of the Lord. For one thing, it's a period of vindication. In that day, God, righteousness, and his world are all going to be challenged by unbelief and sin. But also in that day, the vindication of God's way, of God's righteousness, and of God's word is going to take place. Those who are mocking God's word, those who are trying to bring shame to God's word, bringing shame to righteousness and his word, they're not going to fare well in that day. God is going to vindicate himself. God is going to vindicate his way, his word, and all other ways are going to be ashamed. It's also a period of vengeance in that day. So every time we hear that word, and we're going to hear that multiple times throughout the book of Isaiah, that term, "in that day," it speaks of this period where God is going to bring judgment upon sin. In other words, sin has ruled the roost for many years. You would look at today and you would think, it seems like sin is on the throne of life today. Sin just seems to keep getting away with things, and it seems like sin has pushed God into oblivion, pushed him to the side. But in that day, God is going to reveal his vengeance when judgment is going to descend upon this earth against everything that is sinful, everything that is evil, and it's not going to be a good day for those who are in rebellion against God. So in that day, in the future, is not going to be good for those who are outside of Christ. But in that day, in the future, Israel is going to be restored. They're going to be restored. In that day, the day of the Lord, a remnant is going to be saved. So there is good news. I kind of liken it to this and thinking about this, you know, you think about the climate that they're in. What kind of climate is it there? It's a desert, arid climate, dry, very dry, very hot. I mean, you're looking for a source of water to be close to. You're looking for branches of a tree to be under to protect you from the heat of the day. So when we hear this term that we're fixing to come to, the branch of the Lord, the branch of the Lord could be looked at in a positive way and in a negative way. The branch of the Lord could be looked at as a shelter over you to protect you from the beating down of the sun and the heat of that climate. Even the hail that may fall from the skies to protect you as it's coming down through the branches of the tree. So a branch can be used as protection. But how many of you ever remember mom or daddy telling you to go get a branch over there and tear it off and bring it here? I see heads shaking. So you know what I'm saying. The branch of the Lord can be good, but the branch of the Lord can also have a negative aspect to it too. And that's what we're going to see here, that he uses this illustration. So he begins talking about in that day, the day of the Lord, and then he says about the judgment that's coming, but he also tells us in verse 2, notice verse 2, in that day. So he said back in verse 1, in that day. Verse 2, he says, in that day. He's repeating something. It's important for you to pay attention to that repetition that he's making here, because he's saying, in that day, here's what's going to happen in verse 1. But in that day, here's what's going to happen also in verse 2. And that's what we need to see, is that contrast. So judgment is never the end of God's message. God doesn't bring judgment upon us or discipline upon us just because he can out of an authority type thing over us. He disciplines us because he loves us. And judgment comes upon us as individuals, as a church, as a nation, because God loves us. And judgment is never the end of God's message. Rather, his message always, always, always ends with the hope of salvation. And so now that we come to chapter 4, the prophet is looking beyond what we saw in chapter 3. He's looking beyond the judgment now to the hope, to the event that's going to take place right after the terrible judgment that chapter 3 talks about that ultimately climaxes with the battle of Armageddon. And so we come to verse 2 through verse 4, and the first thing he wants to give us hope for is that there's a remnant. There's a remnant. So right after the terrible day of the Lord, he says the Lord is going to save a remnant of Israel. So verse 2, let's read and down through verse 4. In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be the pride and honor of the survivors of Israel. And he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleansed the bloodstains of Jerusalem from its midst by a spirit of judgment and by a spirit of burning. So the key term that we're going to see in these verses in chapter 4, the key emphasis is on this branch of the Lord. Now, the branch of the Lord is a messianic title for the Messiah, for Jesus Christ, who came as a shoot, if you will, a piece that begins to grow off of a stump. So in other words, Israel had been a flourishing tree. They had been a great and mighty kingdom. Under David, they were a great kingdom. Under Solomon, they were a great kingdom. But then because they turned their backs upon God, it was like God came and cut the tree down, and all that was left was the stump. It was divided into two, into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, Israel in the north, Judah in the south after Solomon's days. And where we are here with Isaiah is after Solomon's days. It's during that division time of the two nations. And so we see here that he's showing us here that the Messiah is going to come like a sprig that begins to pop up off of that stump, that begins to grow. I've got a lemon tree at the house that I grow, and it got hit by the cold this last year. Last 2 years, we've had some extreme colds back in December time, and it got hit extremely bad again this year. And so I have a lot of branches that are coming out that there's nothing. There's nothing green on them. There's no sprig of a leaf or any kind of bud popping out on them. But down here at the very stump part of the main root, the main branch here at the bottom, the trunk, there are some small branches that are beginning to come out of that. So what looked like was dead is beginning to come to life. That shows there is still life there. Well, that's what we're seeing here. The nation of Israel looked as good as dead. But one day, he says, the branch of the Lord is going to come up out of this dead stump of David's dynasty. And God is going to cleanse his people. He is going to restore his people and the fruitfulness of the land and dwell with them like he did when he led them through the wilderness. You know, when you go back and you look at the Old Testament and you study the times when Israel was going through those 40 years in the wilderness, those were some of the most precious times, really, for the nation of Israel. As much of a difficulty and a struggle that it was, and there were those who kept wishing they were back in Egypt, it was always recounted. You can read psalm after psalm after psalm that talks about that time period in their life and how God led them through the wilderness. I mean, think about how God led them. How did God lead them? He led them by a pillar of fire in the night and by a cloud in the day. So when the cloud moved in the day, that's when they moved. If the fire moved at night, that's when they moved. If it stayed still, that's where they stopped. Then they camped there and they set up camp until the Lord moved them again. So it was like they had, it was difficult times, but those difficult times caused them to trust and to seek the Lord even more during those times. And they remembered that throughout all the psalms that they would sing. So all the time when they would be on their ascent to Jerusalem for the feasts and even for the Passover, they would be singing some of those songs from the book of Psalms that would remind them of that journey through the wilderness. And so he's saying here that he's going to even dwell with them and lead them one day again, like it was when they were in the wilderness. So not just the temple, not just when he was with them in the temple, but every dwelling is going to be blessed by the presence of the Lord, which is what we come around to in the New Testament. We've been talking about this already in the New Testament, is that your body is the temple. It's the temple of God. It's the dwelling place of God. This building, in some respects, is a dwelling place of God, but God isn't confined to this building, and God isn't even confined to just my life, my heart as a believer. He's in every heart of every believer who's trusted in him. And so that's kind of the emphasis that he's talking about here, that it's not just going to be at the temple, but he's going to dwell in every dwelling, and every dwelling is going to be blessed by the presence of the Lord, like it was in the days in the wilderness. So unlike Isaiah's day, the day he's living in that day that he's prophesying about, the people are going to be holy. He just went through this long list in chapter 3 of ways that they were not holy. Even not only the men that he had talked about back in chapter 2, but the women that he talks about in chapter 3 who were turning away from the Lord. But he says in that day, the people are going to be set apart. The people are going to be holy. And the land is going to be beautiful. The land is going to be glorious. And so as the branch of the Lord, the Messiah, he's going to do three wonderful things for the people. One of those, we just said, is he's going to provide a fruitful land for them. All the necessities of life, food, water, shelter, whatever else is needed is going to be provided for them in the promised land. In Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2, the word branch there is not only referring to the Messiah, but because we are in the Messiah, because we are in Christ, it also is referring to the first, referring to the remnant of the Jews that the sovereign Lord allows to survive. And then ultimately to Jesus, whose ancestry would come from those survivors of that remnant. So in the middle of the darkness of Zion's history, of the darkest times and the darkest night of Zion's history, of Israel's history, the glory of the Lord shines the brightest. God is going to completely bring about his judgment, but he's not going to completely exterminate the seed of Abraham. So even though you read these judgments and he's talking about all these people that are going to be judged, there is still a group within that are going to be spared. And they're going to be spared because of the promise he made to David, and that there would be one to always stay on the throne, and eventually that's ultimately fulfilled in the Messiah who eternally is on the throne, Jesus Christ himself. So that's one of the aspects of what he comes to do, to provide a fruitful land for them. Secondly, the branch of the Lord is going to make them holy, totally set them apart, consecrated to God to worship and serve him. We see that in verse 3. He who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem. So following these future days of judgment, the only people who are going to survive are these genuine believers, those who have set their lives apart to God. At that time and that day, the Lord is going to perfect the holiness of all believers. Has that happened yet? No. That is something that is still out there in the future, and what we know from the scripture will not ultimately be fulfilled until we are in heaven, till we are there with him in the New Jerusalem forever and ever and ever, where there is no more sin, there is no more suffering, there is no more of that to taint our lives. And so that's what he's talking about here in this picture. There's going to be a perfecting of the holiness of all believers, purifying them, making them acceptable to live with him eternally. That's the way he describes us as the New Testament church. That the New Testament church, he wants to present us spotless, blameless, without spot, as the bride of Christ. And so that's what he's referencing here in Isaiah, to present us ready to live with him forever and ever. And so this verse has to be referring to the reign of Christ and to eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. Why? Because the survivors left behind after the Assyrians come, after the Babylonians come, that's what he was talking about back in chapter 2 that was going to happen. And so after that judgment comes, they still aren't holy. As Ezra and Nehemiah and the prophets described, they were anything but holy. And so God is going to protect this remnant to bring them through to that day that they would be holy. And he's going to protect this remnant by his sovereign power. And so in the smoldering ruins of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3, the branch of the Lord is going to flourish. The branch of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, is clearly Jesus here, the stump of Jesse, who is beautiful, who is glorious. And so Jesus is seen in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, as the radiance of God's glory. And so the reason he's giving us this description here is to contrast the darkness of chapter 2 and chapter 3 and the wickedness of those circumstances in Jerusalem leading up to the judgment of God, that Christ is going to stand forth as the perfect man, as the perfect ruler, contrasting him with the darkness of sin and the glorious light of the truth. And so in the immediate horizon, remember this, when you're thinking about prophets, they're seeing it like that set of mountains. In the immediate part of the prophecy here, God is going to restore the remnant to a peaceful and fruitful dwelling in the promised land. So he's saying, judgment's going to come. Your enemies are going to come. Assyria is going to come. Babylon's going to come. They're going to take you off. But there's a remnant that's going to be spared. And we know that when Ezra and Nehemiah bring people back from the exile to come back and repopulate the land. They're still not perfect yet, though. So the total fulfillment of this prophecy has not been completed yet, not till we get to heaven. And so we see also that this, in verse 3 here, that this remnant has been chosen by God. It says that it is everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem. For eternity, this remnant will boast in the Lord and what he has done for them on the cross. That will be their righteousness. That will be their glory. And then the third thing that this branch of the Lord is going to do is cleanse these people. We mentioned that he's going to cleanse them from their filth and from their sin. Verse 4 said that the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleanse the bloodstains of Jerusalem. Bloodstains from what? Bloodstains from all those men who were killed because of their sinfulness. The filth, the sinfulness of the daughters of Zion that he talked about in the last part of chapter 3. And then he says, "They be cleansed the bloodstains of Jerusalem from its midst by a spirit of judgment and by a spirit of burning." And so you get that image of all the impurities being burned out of their life. We get the image of hell that is a place of fire. And so so we see that's where you'll spend eternity there. Or you can deal with sin now and burn up the sin now in your heart, in your life. Then not only do we see the remnant, we see an awesome promise here of the covering of God in verse 5 down through verse 6. So verse 5 says, then, So after what we see here in these verses, in verse 2 through verse 4, in that day the branch of the Lord providing the remnant there, then the Lord will create over the whole site of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day and smoke and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for over all the glory there will be a canopy. There will be a booth for shade by day from the heat and for a refuge and a shelter from the storm and the rain. So after they're cleansed, after they're made holy, the Lord is going to cover them with the glory of His presence. When you begin to look at the picture here from the light of the New Testament, you begin to see, in essence, that's what God has done for you. That's what He's done for you. After you've been forgiven of your sin, you've repented of your sin, you've received the free gift of grace, it's like the covering of the righteousness of Jesus Christ comes over you and within you. You're covered and cleansed by Him. And so after that cleansing, after that making holy, the Lord covers His people with the glory of His presence. In fact, the canopy of His presence and His provision, He says, is going to cover all of Mount Zion. It's going to cover all of Jerusalem. That's where Mount Zion is. Jerusalem's built on the top of Mount Zion. So the final image of this chapter is one of a lasting dwelling place between God and this remnant. God is going to create a cloud of smoke by day and the brightness of the flaming fire by night, bringing us back in our recollection, in our minds, to remind us of that time in the wilderness. So the smoke and the fire refer immediately back to the spirit of burning back in verse 4 that God used to purge Jerusalem. So our God, the scripture tells us over and over, is a consuming fire. And because He is a consuming fire, He will actively guarantee the ongoing purity of the holy city. But beyond that, the cloud and the fire remind us, as we said, about the time of the Exodus, just like the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire at night. We see that led them. But if you'll remember, it not only led them in the day or at the night or caused them to stop in the day or the night, it also stood between them and their enemies. Do you remember that when they came to the Red Sea? And here they were up against the sea, nowhere else that they could go. There comes Pharaoh's army with all their chariots and all their might, and they're coming against them. And the people are saying, Moses, you brought us out here to die. Why did we come out here to this Red Sea? You brought us out here to kill us. And God tells him, stretch that staff out over the sea. While he's holding that staff out over the sea, that the waves and all the water is being parted there for them to go on one side down to the other, the enemy's still coming. So how does the enemy not get to them? If you remember the story, it was the cloud that stood between them and their enemy. What a picture here that we see. That just like God's pillar stood between Israel and Egypt as a wall of protection, He's saying, God, I am going to protect, to be a shelter, a protection also for you from the heat and the storm and the rain. It's an image of total safety for the people of God against all of their enemies, a safety that's only ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So here's the lesson that we can learn from this passage. The Lord is our shelter. The Lord is our overshadowing protection from the storms of life. When we're tempted and when we're enticed to sin and some sinful behavior, the Lord's presence will be with us. He will protect us. He will deliver us. If we'll turn to Him for shelter and protection, He will deliver us from the temptation. The Bible says that He will always make a way of escape for you. When trials strike us, distressing circumstances come against us, when hardships come our way or misfortunes happen to us, the Lord will protect us. Maybe not in the way we thought He should have protected us, But he will protect us. If we'll turn to him, calling out to him, he will be a refuge for us. He will overshadow us with his presence. No matter the strain, no matter the pressure, no matter the distress, no matter the grief we're going through, the Lord will always grant his protective spirit over us. In fact, the Bible promises it over and over again. All you got to do is look through the scriptures, especially the Psalms and the Proverbs. Here's a couple of places that the scripture tells us that the Lord is our shelter, the Lord is our hiding place. In Psalm 119 and verse 114, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Also, the Lord is our refuge. Proverbs chapter 8, actually, I didn't write this reference down. It's Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 46, verse 1, that says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then Proverbs 18, 10, that says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous man runs into it and is safe. There is safety in the presence of the Lord, safety for eternity. And so understand that the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross is the final protection from all of our enemies. Because think about it, once you know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, what in the world could your enemies do to you? Absolutely nothing. You are in the hand of Christ, and the hand of Christ is in the hand of the Father, and nothing can pluck you out. That's a promise from Jesus. What a truth that we can stand on. He is our shelter. He is our hiding place. He is our refuge. He is our strong tower. The wonderful image there points ahead to a day when at last the dwelling of God will be with his people and he will live with them. The book of Revelation tells us in the very end, Revelation 21 and verse 3 and verse 4, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is where? Doesn't say the temple, doesn't say Jerusalem, doesn't say with the Jews only. He says the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. So here's what he's saying. So often we look at verse 4, but we forget about verse 3. That he's going to be with us. He's going to be with his people. He himself will be with them as their God. And verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Isaiah chapter 4 is pointing, as it says, in that day. In that day, there's going to be great judgment. But also in that day, there's going to be great rejoicing in heaven, where the redeemed will be with him together forever. We ought to look forward as believers to that day and to try to take as many as we can with us to heaven by sharing the good news of the gospel with them. What a powerful chapter of only 6 verses. Wow. In that day, the branch of the Lord. It'll be a covering for protection, or it can be a switch for discipline. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for what we've learned, especially the truths that we've learned that no matter what happens to us in this life, no matter what enemy may come against us, if we are living with you and walking with you and living in the truth of your word, obeying your word, following you, seeking you in our lives, you will protect us. Lord, we so often think about protecting as protecting us to be able to remain here in this life. But the ultimate protection comes when you protect us from hell. You protect us from an eternity without you. And that protection only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, through our salvation with him. So Lord, I pray that we would understand that tonight, that here is a gospel message in the midst of the judgment, That, Lord, yes, we have sinned. Yes, we have failed you. We have turned our backs upon you as a nation, as a people in this world. Father, if we truly come to that place of brokenness in our hearts, of repentance in our hearts over our sin, and we believe in what Christ did for us on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, the truth of Scripture tells us if we profess Jesus with our lips, as we profess him as Lord of our lives, as Savior of our lives, he comes to dwell in our hearts and in our lives to change us from the inside out and helps us to live that life of faith. Lord, I pray that if we realize that tonight, that we would call out to you and seek your salvation before it's too late. Knowing, Lord, that ultimately, if we have trusted by faith in Christ as our Savior, your protection is over us to escort us right on in to your presence one day in glory. We look forward to that day. Lord, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. To look upon his face, to see him, to be in his presence. Lord, what a day that will be for those who are in Christ. Lord, I pray that we'll make sure to do everything we can for those who are not, to make sure they're without excuse, that we've shared what we needed to share, we've lived a life that has communicated the love of Christ to them in the demonstration of our actions and our words. And Father, then that everything else is left in their hands and there would be no blood upon our hands. Bless us, Lord, as we go through the remainder of this week to make the most of every opportunity you give us. And may you be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight. I know it was six verses, but it was all the way through our regular time here. So I thought maybe I might get done earlier. That was dreaming, wasn't it, Ben? Yeah. But we're glad to have you with us there online. Let me just look real quick. Did anybody look? I don't see any comments there on mine. Maybe you do on yours of any prayers there. But we do want to encourage you to be here with us this coming Sunday. If you can, in person, 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. We'll be in person as well as online. You have a blessed week, a safe week. Stay tuned to Weather Things tonight, too, so that you're aware of what's going on around us, too. But you have a safe week, a blessed week, and we'll see you this coming Sunday.